teeny piece of metal. And yet it says that's what our tongues are like. It's so small, but it can make huge boasts. But even beyond that, it says it can set the whole course of our life on fire. It can ruin our whole life. Or it can make our life go great. But it can set the course of our life, just our words. A slip of the tongue can make a huge difference. But it goes on and it says, also the tongue's small, but it can redirect lives. Did you catch that last part? It says, it sets the whole course of a person's life on fire and is itself set on fire by hell, or can be set on fire by hell. That's not what I don't want my tongue set on fire by hell. I want my tongue set on fire by God, controlled by God. And I know that's your desire too. But this claim really struck me once. I was on a team that was traveling in Southern California, going to different college campuses, mobilizing students to get involved in world mission. And there's a gal on our team, I'll call her Dina. She was a really neat gal. But I noticed when we do our presentations, if it didn't go quite right, I could see she'd get really nervous. And we'd sleep in the dorms and set up appointments to counsel with students the next day. And if nobody signed up to counsel with her, or she got just one student, I could tell it kind of bothered her. So one day I asked her about it. And she said, yeah, if I'm really honest with you, she said, something happened in my life when I was about 15 years old. She said, I didn't have a very good relationship with my dad. One day he got really mad at me. And he said, Dina, everything you touch turns to garbage. 6 words. Everything you touch turns to garbage. She said, those 6 words changed my life. The goal of my life at that point in time was I wanted to please God with my life. But after my dad said that, the goal of my life became to disprove my dad and to prove to him that, no, not everything I do turns to garbage. But she said, those words haunt me. And she said, you're right. When you notice I get, if our presentation's not going right, I hear this little voice in my ear that said, see, Dina, everything you touch is turning into garbage, just like your dad said. Somebody time that for me. Anybody got a chronological watch? All right? Or just estimate that. I'm going to say it. Ready? Go. Dina, everything you touch turns to garbage. How long was that? 5 seconds. 5 seconds destroyed her life in many regards. Well, thank God he's powerful and he's able to work in her life and bring healing. But that shows the power of the tongue. And so these scriptures, sometimes they just seem exaggerated. The whole course of our life is set on fire by our tongue. Yes, it can be. Our tongues have that kind of power. Our tongues can be set on fire by hell. Then the scriptures also say the tongue is like an untamable animal. In James 1, 7 and 8 says, all kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, and creatures of the sea are being tamed and have been tamed by man. But no man can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil, full of deadly poison. John MacArthur said, this description of the tongue, maybe that's why, if it's full of deadly poison and can't be tamed, maybe that's why God hid our tongue behind our lips in a wall made of our teeth, so that we could control it. I looked up and I found the human jaw can bite at 350 pounds per square inch. And that a pit bull only averages 325 pounds per square inch. So God gave us tough muscles so we can control what comes out of our mouth. But we need to be humbled and realize, wow, my tongue's full, can be filled with deadly poison. It's an untamable animal. It makes me think of this story I read about Siegfried and Roy, the great magic show that they had in Las Vegas. ran for years. Every night, 1,000 people would pack into the special theater to watch them. No seat under $100. Why did they love it? Well, they had amazing magic, but they also used these tigers. This one tiger in the middle, his name was Manicore, 380 pounds. Roy Horn on the left is the one that was the animal trainer. He started training those cubs when they were just a couple months old. For 6 years he did it as they grew up. They used them in their show. These giant animals were part of the magic. Look at the size of that animal. But in October 2001, they did their final show unexpectedly. He brought the tiger out, and as they're walking around, they don't know if someone did something in the audience that caused them to flinch or distracted the animal. Some said Roy Horn hadn't been practicing enough with him, but suddenly that 380-pound tiger lunged and knocked him down, grabbed him by the throat, and they say in front of 1,000 people, that lion shook him like a rag doll and almost killed him. He's alive today, but that was the last show that he ever did. He had substantial damage and stroke that came from that. Bible says the tongue can't be tamed, even though some animals can be. These apparently, evidently weren't. But the Bible doesn't just say that. It talks about that is filled with deadly poison. But before we get that, I want to show this picture, and if you'll cue up the video here in just a second. One of the interesting things about tigers is their tongue. I did a little research. They say the tiger's tongue is serrated, like a serrated knife. And it's so powerful that when a tiger knocks down its prey, with his tongue he can lick and wipe all the hair off the hide. It is so powerful. And then with its tongue, just using the tongue and its strength, it can lick the meat and wipe the meat right off the bone, raw meat right off the bone. That tongue is serrated and is so powerful and has such cutting ability. Incredible power for evil. I want to briefly, if you'd show this video, as we think about this idea of that our tongue is filled with deadly poison. It's if we can get it up, it's a kind of snake called the rinkals, and they actually spit venom. As you watch this, think of the idea. The tongue is full of deadly poison. We may not be able to get the audio, but basically what he's saying is this is a special snake, and as it moves its head forward, right, like it did right there, it spits out deadly poison. So you notice this guy, he says, don't do this at home. I've been doing this my whole life. He said, you have to be very careful. He said, don't do this at home. I know you were all thinking of doing it at home. Okay, do you notice what he's wearing? Why is he wearing sunglasses? Yeah, it spits deadly poison. So as it brings its head forward and dips it down, that's when it spits out this deadly poison. Right there, look, it's getting ready to do it. Right there. As it went forward, it spit out the poison. Okay? Let's just watch a second longer here. I think he's going to take off his sunglasses and show us. He says in the video, I can already feel it. He says, some of the poison got on my neck. Look at my glasses. There it is. That's the poison. It sprays out that poison. All right, thank you. Now, that's kind of scary, but what's scarier is to say, God says, His Word says, our tongue is full of deadly poison like that. Makes you just want to clap your hand over your mouth, doesn't it? To realize the kind of power for evil that resides behind our lips and our teeth. That's what the Scripture says, but it doesn't stop there. It goes on to say that the idea, James says, it just doesn't make sense when bad comes out of our tongue. In verse 13 says, my brothers, can a fig tree bear olives or a grapevine bear figs? No, that's ridiculous. A fig tree bears figs. He said, yet out of our mouths that God created for us to say good, to say things that will build up and benefit others, evil comes out. It doesn't make any more sense than a fig tree bearing olives. Just doesn't make sense. That's not how God created us. It's baffling, is what James says, or what God says. It's baffling that that kind of evil will come out of the mouth I made for man. Then he goes on, and he warns us too, to not speak too much, to not speak too harshly. These are some really important verses here. My brothers, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to become angry. When words are many, sin is not absent. But he who holds his tongue is wise. A person of knowledge uses words with restraint. A gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. With patience, a ruler may be persuaded, and a soft tongue will break a bone. There is a time to keep silent and a time to speak. So too often we sin when we're saying too many things, when we're talking too much. I read somebody, a quote in Reader's Digest that said, the Miranda rights? You have the right to remain silent. He said, you have the right to remain silent even if you haven't committed a crime. Okay? And many of us need to listen to that. This really came home for me one time. I was working at a church, and the pastor was a good friend of mine, but he was going through a lot of stress, and every week we'd have an hour-long debrief of how our youth ministry fit into the overall church and coordinate our plans. And it started happening where every time we talked, it was supposed to be an hour meeting, it started going to 2 hours, but the thing that was so hard for me is he did 90% of the talking, and I did 90% of the listening. And for a while it was okay, but after a while I could just barely bear it. Our relationship, it was so hard on our relationship when one person is doing 90% of the talking. The Bible says, be quick to listen. And I've noticed in life, people that are great listeners make great friends. People are looking for a great listener. I remember I saw this cartoon. It was of this man. He was helping his mother taking her to a medical appointment. And she was talking with the neighbor, and he kept looking at his watch and reminding his mom, we need to go. And finally she left. He said, Mom, we're 10 minutes late. How come you kept talking to that guy? How come you kept talking to our neighbor? And she looked at him and she said, well, because he just kept listening. And that's the truth, though. We all long for somebody that will listen. But if we're talking too much, we're not listening. And God says, be quick to listen, slow to speak. Don't speak harshly, but realize there's times to be silent, times to be gentle, to not be harsh. That same leader, on a couple occasions, I had to go back and talk with him because he had been very harsh with me about something that happened that wasn't my fault, or there was nothing I could have done about it. But I realized I was so devastated for another adult to talk to me harshly. I felt like I was being talked like I was a 10-year-old boy. And I realized it had wounded my heart. So I had to go back and we had to talk through that and reconcile with that. Words can really impact us. So I want to stop here just for a moment and talk about application. What if you've harmed others with your tongue? So just take a moment, if you'd close your eyes and ask God, God, is there somebody that I've harmed with my tongue that I haven't gone back and made things right, or I never went back? Is there somebody I need to go back to, Lord? Someone that my tongue said things that didn't build them up but tore them down. If that's true for you, I want to encourage you to, one, repent, change your thinking, and realize, one, that yes, my words can devastate people. Anybody's words can. And go to them and ask forgiveness. And even if you're not sure if there's hard feelings there, go and make sure and be reconciled. Ask for their forgiveness. God can bring such healing from that. And then speak the truth to them. If you lost your temper to your child and said, oh, you are just so stupid, go to them and tell them the truth. I was so wrong to say that. I said you were stupid, but the reality is you are not stupid. You're so smart. You're smarter than I am. I don't know why I said something. That was stupid of me to say that. Speak the truth to them. Speak the truth in love. Then also, what if others have harmed you? I want to ask you again, just close your eyes. Ask God, God, is there somebody who spoke words to me that I still feel the sting of those words? Sometimes Satan loves to use words that were said to us harshly or wrongly, and he writes that as a lie. Just like with my friend Dina, her lie was, I'm a screw-up. Everything that I do ends up getting screwed up. That was a lie that got written on her heart. Is there some words that have been said to you? If so, some things that you can do is to realize that may have resulted in a lie being written on your heart. So talk to God about it. Ask Him, God, is that true? Do those words still impact my life today? And if so, you may need to talk to others and say, you know, I'm struggling. Sometimes I realize I feel worthless because somebody once told me I'd never amount to anything. And pray and consider going back to that person, if you haven't already, to talk to them how their words hurt you. You know, Matthew 5 says, if you're offering your gift at the altar and remember somebody has something against you, leave your gift there and go and be reconciled. And Matthew 18 says, your brother sins against you, go, just the two of you, and bring it to his attention. So pray about that and pray that God would bring healing to both of you. And I want to just say a quick prayer here. Lord, I just want to lift up those who've been hurt by others' words. Lord, that you'd help them to do these things, to be able to forgive and to even go to them and be reconciled. Those that have hurt others with their words too, Lord, that they would go and make things right and make sure that there's no offense there. So there could be healing and restoration and reconciliation. So we've really focused so far on the tongue as being full of poison, being untamable, being able to devastate others. It's been very negative. And I hope all of us, reading these verses, preparing this, has humbled me to say, wow, I need to be careful. I've got deadly poison in my mouth. But it would be wrong to neglect the other part, this idea that we should never forget that the tongue can greatly bless others. That's why God gave us our tongues, is to encourage others. And I want to encourage you, unleash that in your life, the power of your tongue to do good. just the way God intended. Listen to some of these verses. Proverbs 10 says, "The lips of the righteous nourish many." Are your words nourishing people? Wouldn't you like to say that about yourself? Wow, my words have really nourished and encouraged and built up and benefited those around me. A word aptly spoken is like apples of gold in settings of silver. Now, that's cultural. Gold and silver must have been really the most beautiful thing back then. I'm a fan of silver and black myself, so that's how I would contextualize that. But think of whatever is most beautiful to you. And God says an apt word, the right word spoken at the right time. When you're talking with somebody and the Holy Spirit speaks to you about, this brother, this sister needs to hear this. And you speak that to them, and it brings healing, it builds them up. That's beautiful. God says the right word at the right time is beautiful. He says, don't withhold good from those who deserve it when it is in your power to act. Don't say to your neighbor, oh, come back later, I'll give it tomorrow when you have it with you now. Now, I think it's talking primarily about physical things, but I think it also applies to our words. I know often I'll have a conversation with somebody, and then after we hang up or we're done, I'll say, oh, I really should have complimented them about this that they did, or encouraged them about this that they did. When we have it in our ability to do it, don't withhold it. There are so many people that are needing a little encouragement, and it can make a huge difference in their lives. Reckless words pierce like a sword, but the tongue of the wise brings healing. I know in my own life, Chris has been my field mentor in this seminary program I'm working on, and one of the projects I've been working on, it's been on my heart for a long time, is related to the role of baptism and the sinner's prayer, and I've been doing a lot of research. But there have been many times I just felt like giving up, that I didn't get good feedback from others, and I've doubted myself. I thought, oh, maybe I'm not even right about this. Maybe I got it all wrong. And one of those times when I was just feeling like, I don't think, and who am I to be doing this? I'm no theologian. And I remember one time meeting with Chris, and I was just mentioning that the project. And Chris said to me, he said, Wade, you need to write this. It's important. Those two words, it's important. I was ready to give up, but when he said that, I got new life. I got working again on it. And recently we were at an event with Kenny and Charlene, and he was asking about this project, and he said, well, tell me about it. So I told him a little about it, and then Kenny said, wow, I have never heard that before. I've never thought about it that way. That is so helpful. And when he said that, it renewed my energy, yeah, to go forward, gave me courage to go forward. Two words. It's important. That's helpful. Just two words can make such a difference sometimes in our lives. I remember my mom is one of the most amazing things about my mom is in my whole life, I never heard her say something that was negative about somebody or tore them down. In my whole life, I don't know how she does that. But she's got this gift of saying the right thing at the right time. One time I was calling from China, I'd been a supervisor for a while, and in our region we had two families that were really not doing well. They hadn't done well for years. They really didn't belong on the field. They had issues they needed to work out back in America. They were becoming divisive, and I was the leader. And it was apparent to everybody, me included, that they needed to be let go. I remember talking to my mom about it, how just hard it is. Somebody, their life dream has been to be a missionary, and now you have to go tell them you really need to go back and get help for these things you're dealing with. And I said, it's just so hard. And kind of saying, I was having a pity party. Why do I have to be the one to tell them? How come everybody, these other supervisors they had, they saw it, they should have done it, but they didn't. They left it to me, poor me. And I remember my mom said to me, she said, Wade, said, I'm sure that it's got to be so hard But she said, of all the people I know, the good people skills that you have, the compassion you have for people, I can't think of one better person who would be better at doing that sensitively than you. Wow. I was on the phone just drying the tears from my eyes. The right word at the right time. Our speech can make such a difference. So I want to challenge you in conclusion. What's your tongue going to be like? Is it going to be like nitroglycerin that any moment can blow up and bring great harm? Or is it going to be like the power of dynamite? Very powerful, but so safe. It makes me think in China, we heard explosions all the time in the area we live. We're in a rural area. It's because they have these limestone mountains, and they drill holes in it, and they put a stick of dynamite in it, and they blow it up. And then they take the little rocks and they put them in this machine that turns big rocks into little rocks and make gravel and sand and cement. And everybody builds their houses out of these mountains because of dynamite. If they didn't have dynamite, they wouldn't be able to do it. It provides houses for everybody. Houses that are cool in the hot summer and freezing in the winter. But which is it? Is your tongue going to be like the tigers, serrated, able to just wipe the hair off the hide of an animal with one swipe, to remove the raw meat from the bone? Or will your tongue be one that heals and builds up and encourages? Is yours going to be like the snake, full of deadly poison? Or will yours be the tongue that brings healing and life and encouragement? The right word at the right time. And as I think about that, of course, all of our desires, God, I want my tongue to be the right word at the right time. How do we do that? By relying upon the Holy Spirit. By getting into the scriptures. If you didn't notice, I don't normally do this, but I wrote out all the verses on this sheet because I think a lot of people will want to go back and look at this and study it and get this ingrained into our hearts. Because as it gets in our hearts, what? The overflow of the heart is what? The mouth. So we need to get God's perspective on our heart so that we can bring healing.